6 days, what you said, Chris? 47. Unbelievable. So we're almost there, another year down. It's been a full-on year, hasn't it? It's been a big year. We're almost at the end of it. But new series today, Walking in the Way of Jesus. And it's an extension of a series that we did last year, and we're going to dive into the stories or some of the key stories in Jesus' life, but also diving into them so we can see how we are to model his way of life in our lives. So today I want to remind us of a key area within our lives, a key part of our identity that I believe sometimes we forget, or maybe sometimes we're not bold enough to live out, and that is that we are salt and light. So next week we're going to dive into how we are expected to live in light of this part of our identity, and that is we are to live in the way of love, as Chris pointed out. And then finally, we'll be in the third week joined by Tim Burns, who's the church facilitator at the Baptist Association. He's going to come and speak to us. He may be familiar with some of you. Up until August this year, he was the senior pastor at Mortdale Oatley Baptist Church. So he's going to come and speak to us in the area of church health and look at how the disciples implemented the ways of Jesus into their lives in order to build Christ's church. So we're going to look at that in our final week. But as we come to this aspect of our identity here today, I encourage you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4 and 5. We're going to be in both of those chapters here this morning. And again, we're going to dive into the reality that we are salt and light. If you're a follower of Jesus here today, if you've put your hand up to accept Jesus into your life, you are, and I am salt and we are light. It's not a matter of aspiring to be that. That is who you are. And so we're going to dive in that today. And we're going to do that by looking through the lens of what we've been speaking about in the last 3 weeks in our Light versus Darkness series. But if we are to look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, we see that he was light. Amen. He was indeed light. This is what this passage of Matthew 4, 12 to 17 spells out for us. A passage that takes place directly after the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. If you remember, we looked at that a couple of weeks back in our series, Light versus Darkness. So this passage takes place directly after that event. And we see from this passage that he is light. Light to all of mankind. And the reality about Jesus was that he knew this. He knew this was part of his identity. He understood this was part of his identity and his purpose. And if there was any ounce of insecurity about this aspect of his identity, then this would have been exploited by Satan in the wilderness, wouldn't it? Because as we looked at, Satan tried to plant seeds of doubt in Jesus' life. He said, well, if you are truly the Son of God, if Jesus was insecure about being light or being the Son of God, then he would have exploited this in Jesus' life. But thankfully, for all of us sitting here today and all of Christians across the world, he knew his identity. He knew his purpose. And so we too need to grasp and grapple with this aspect of our identity and our purpose here today as well. Jesus knew this about himself, and so it led to him living the life that he did, but also proclaiming this incredible truth about himself in John chapter 12, which says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Are you walking in darkness, or are you walking in the light? The question we have before us here today was, how was Jesus light? If he says, I am the light of the world and we are to follow him, how is he the light? What were the ways in which he employed within his life that demonstrated that he was light? Do we believe this first and foremost? I'm guessing you do because you're here today. You're here to worship and proclaim this truth about Jesus. But in what ways was he light? Let's brainstorm that now. Just don't shout out too loud. I should have ears enough to hear. But what were some of the ways in which he was light when he walked this earth? Or even in your lives today. Yep. His acceptance of everyone. Yep, the blessings he bestowed on people who were sick and needy, absolutely. What other ways was he light? This is the Jesus that we proclaim. Yes, Gareth?
He spoke God's word. His word is meant to be the light.
Right. He spoke truth. He spoke God's word. He proclaimed it. He preached it. He taught it. Absolutely. So for those at home, he was more interested in relationship than customs and religious ways, I guess. So yeah, definitely. One other? Sorry, Alan, here you go. Yep, compassion to sick and needy. There was one other at the back.
He prayed.
Absolutely. So this is just some of many of the ways that Jesus was light, amen. He fulfilled this passage of Isaiah chapter 9. He lived it out. He modeled it. He embraced it. He loved people, as we looked at. He loved the outsiders, those who people, other people didn't want to associate with. He came alongside them. He cared for them. He ate with them. He spent time with them. He poured love into them. He healed the sick. He healed people's ailments. The man with leprosy, the man that was blind, the demon-possessed. And in all of these, proved himself to be the very authority over darkness. All of this, yes, but the most important way in which Jesus fulfilled this passage of Isaiah chapter 9 was becoming the very means that humanity could see God the Father once again. He was the means by which we could see the very essence, the supremacy, the glory of the Father. That is why he fulfilled this passage in being light. Our sin has caused our hearts to be dark, our souls to be dark. Before Jesus came, we were in darkness, Scripture tells us. But because of Jesus, we can now see the glory of the Father once again. He is the light that penetrated the darkness and made God the Father known to us once more. Amen. Praise God. And these are the key aspects of his identity that he has firmly in mind when he speaks to his church and his people on the famous Sermon on the Mount. If you turn over the page, if you go to the next chapter, we see and we read in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus say this in verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." And then in verse 14, it says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." You are salt. You are light. Jesus was distinct in every way, wasn't he? He was different from the world. He was flavorsome, a beautiful aroma that resonated from his life. And here in this passage, he says, you know what? You are salt too. You know what? You are light. You are the light in the dark world. You take this mantle, you take the baton, and you live it out. You are salt. We are salt. We are light. So first and foremost this morning, we need to be reminded that we are salt. Amen. A mark of a true disciple is their saltiness. So my question to you all today, are you salty? Do you provide a distinct aroma to this world? This is who we are. We are to be salty. And Christian saltiness is the character that is defined in the Beatitudes. If you look a bit earlier on, Jesus talks about his disciples being meek, merciful, pure in heart, the peacemakers, ultimately. Those who are salty are those who pursue Christ in all that they do. Those who are salty follow hard after Jesus. And the underlying aspect of all of this is that you and I are distinct witnesses to his redemptive power. We are distinct witnesses to his redemptive power. This is what we indeed see from Jesus' first disciples. They were to carry the very essence of Christ, his authority, his teaching, his grace, and they carried it everywhere and everywhere they went the moment that they were released to to be his hands and feet in this world. And in the same way, you and I are to become, again, the very essence of Christ's authority, the very essence of his teaching, his grace. You know, when the Spirit is birthed anew in you, you automatically take on the taste of Christ, the aroma of Christ. So I ask you again, are you salty? Do you give off a pleasing aroma, a tasteful, distinct aroma to the world? If not, then we risk giving Christ a bad name. Salt is obviously the most distinct flavors you will ever taste. Have you noticed that? Move that out of the way. That's why there's salt? Salt on every table in a restaurant. What are those jars of salt? No. What are they called? Jars of salt? Yeah? Can't think of the word. But that's why you see them on every restaurant, in restaurants that you go to. And just be careful not to confuse the salt with sugar, as I did once. Put sugar on my meat pie and chips. I was sick for quite a while afterwards until I realized halfway through my meal that it wasn't salt. Don't do that. But salt is one of the most distinct flavors you will ever taste. And as you walked in today, you would have received a little goodies bag. And I said there was going to be a surprise for those who came on site today. Sorry if you're online, but hopefully you can get a taste of this. But in your goodies bag, everyone get one? Yes? There's a bit of packet of salt in there. So I want to encourage you all to get that out. And if you're online at home, you can maybe go to the cupboard in your kitchen and grab some salt. But there should be some salt in your goodies bag. And what I want to encourage us to do, this is something we've done before, but again, it's a good little exercise to have. If you feel comfortable doing this, rip that open. Put a bit of salt in your finger. Place it on your tongue. Put some salt in your tongue. Just let it sit there. If you feel comfortable doing that, if you don't, that's fine. But as you do that, have a think about some of the words that come to mind, some of the experiences that come to mind. As you put some salt in your tongue, let it sit there. Yeah, you will have to take your masks off for that. In case you haven't realized already. But what are some of the experiences of that experience? You may want to throw it into the comments section if you're watching online for those at home. But what are some of the experiences or the feelings that you have, some words that come to mind as you experience that salt? What is it?
The beach.
The beach. Yeah, well, fair enough, yes. Someone said you can't ignore it. Yep. What else? It's strong, flavoursome. Yes.
Thirsty.
You're thirsty. You want more. You want water. What else? Anything else?
Cleansing.
Yep. Good for the palate. Very good. Another. See, all these words that you've thrown out to me, that is to be how we are perceived by others, amen? Strong, distinct, flavoursome. This is how you and I are to operate in our lives so that we give off this sort of aroma, this sort of experience to everyone and anyone that we come in contact with. And this is the point of what Jesus is saying here. This is why he uses salt as an analogy for who we are as people, who our identity is to be. And take notice of what he says in 13, part B. He says, "But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men." Did you know that salt can lose its saltiness? I did not realize this. Did you know that? Salt can lose its distinct flavor if it is if it's exposed to the ailments, basically. If rain and moisture get, if it's exposed to rain and moisture, condensation, the sodium chloride in the salt actually dissolves and is extracted. And so it loses its distinct taste. Its distinct flavor. And the reality is that we, as followers of Jesus, we too can lose our distinct taste and flavor. We can lose our saltiness if we expose ourselves to the ailments too long. If we expose ourselves to the world, if we pursue more of the world than we do of Christ, then we will lose our saltiness. It'll evaporate from us like that. So my question to us all today is, where in your lives are you being worldly? Are you pursuing the world instead of Christ? Where in your friendships, your relationships, are you more fitting in than standing out? If we do not embrace this component of our identity, we risk conforming to the rest of society. And we will lose our distinct taste and our distinct aroma. So we need to ask ourselves, are we prioritizing God in our lives? Are we meditating on His Word day and night? Because that is from which we get our saltiness from, amen? As we absorb His Word, it just lives and breathes out of us. Truth spills out of our lives. If we do not regularly do this, if we do not regularly come to worship Him here on a Sunday, to be edified, to be built up, to be encouraged, then we'll start to compromise areas of our faith. We'll start to live as the world does. We'll embrace more of the world, and before long, you'll start to see yourself lose that distinct taste, that distinct aroma, and we will become ineffective for the gospel, for the kingdom of God. Colossians 4:6 says this, "Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you will know how to answer everyone." Everything we say and everything that we do should have a distinctness about it. If we are to follow the way of Jesus, if we are to walk in the way of Jesus, then we need to be standing out. That's why Jesus was so warmly embraced. That's why people wanted to follow Him and become His followers, because He stood out. And the aroma that He gave off was a pleasing one. That is what we are called to do as well. You know, not only are we called to be salt, but we're also to be called light. Well, we are also light. We are salt and we are light. This is the second component of our identity we need to learn to embrace, particularly in the season of life that we find ourselves in, when the world just feels so dark and overwhelming, as we've been looking at. When we examine light, what we see with light is that it infiltrates darkness, doesn't it? I was here last night doing a few little things, and it was, I don't know if you've been here at night, but it is pitch black. It's like being in a cave, you can't really see where you're going. But the moment you turn the light on, you can see again. Did you know that light is also important for your vitamin D levels, sunlight? And it's also important for how you sleep at night. The more exposure you get to sunlight actually helps you sleep at night. Who knew? These are some of the physical benefits of sunlight. But again, the most important of all is that it helps our vision. It helps us to see. It allows us to see. And that ultimately allows us and stops us from tripping over things, like me last night. Stops us from breaking things, and therefore it prevents us from hurting ourselves. And this is why Jesus says, if you follow me, the light of life, your light, your life will be easier. The reality is that when we see God for who He truly is, then we see life for the way we are meant to live. And that ultimately stops us from tripping over, stumbling in life, breaking things, hurting others in relationship, but also prevents us from hurting ourselves. And therefore, the mark of a true disciple is that they stand out. They stand out. But we are also the ones who are to help others understand and know more about the kingdom of God. Amen. This is what Jesus is talking about here. We ultimately do this by our good works, our good deeds. And this is what Craig Keener says. While Jesus is opposed to doing good works publicly for one's own honor, that is to be seen by other people, he encourages or exhorts his disciples to do these good works publicly for God's honor. So it's not about us. We don't do these good deeds. We don't put these grocery packs together like we did early in the year. We don't pray for people. We don't come alongside people like we've been doing for our own benefit, do we? to further our own kingdoms, our own glory. No, we put the glory and the honor back onto God. It's about His kingdom, not ours. It's about furthering His kingdom and His glory, not our kingdom and our glory. And ultimately, this metaphor, as we do this, speaks of something more profound. It speaks of hope. When you and I live this way of life out, when we walk in the way of Jesus in this way, when we are salt to the earth, light to the world, it breathes hope into the darkness. It breathes hope into those who are weary. Ephesians 5:8 says, "For you were once in darkness." Don't just read over that. We were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. It doesn't say you can be light of the Lord. No, you are the light in the Lord. Live, therefore, as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all that is good, righteousness and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. As children of light, we are called to pursue the light. So are you pursuing the light? Are you passionate about Jesus? Are you passionate about pursuing righteousness and purity? Do you know the marks of a true passionate follower of Jesus? People just want to be around them, I believe. It's infectious, don't you think? When someone's passionate about Jesus, stands strong in the face of adversity, stands strong in the face of the world coming at them, there's something beautiful about that. Something infectious about that, that others want to model that. They want to live that out as well. So let's do that together, amen, as a church. Can we do that? And it's not about forcing it. It's about allowing the beautiful nature of God to just breathe into your life that it may draw you to want to pursue Him more and more. And that's a beautiful thing when churches are doing that collectively together. And so in order to show and to demonstrate the impact that we can have in this way, there's a light in your goodies bag, a little torch. I encourage you to get that out. And see, if you come to church, you get gifts. You get to take them away. Goodies, freebies. But Vicky's going to go up and turn the lights out for us now. And Sam, if you want to press off on the projector on the top up there. What I want to get us to do is to put those lights on top of your head. Where's mine? We're going into a tunnel. Just to represent that's you, that's your identity, that's who you are. I want to put it on your heart or your head. And I encourage you to look around without being blinded. Take a look around. Look at your fellow light bearers, your fellow light shiners, brothers and sisters in Christ. How beautiful is it to see the impact that we can have? That is who we can become. Thanks, Vicky. You can turn that back on. That is who we are, sorry. When you look around and you can see it'd be nicer if it was a bit darker in here, it would be a bit more profound and have a bit more impact, but you get the metaphor, you get the point. When you look around and see people living this out, it's a beautiful thing. And it just infiltrates the darkness of this world. Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. But with all this in mind, as we finish up here today, with all this in mind, as we reflect on our identity as salt and light, does that mean that we just remove ourselves from the world and in order just to focus on pursuing Christ? Absolutely not. If we are to walk in the way of Christ, what did He do? As we looked at, He ate with sinners. He spoke with sinners. He ministered to those in need. And we need to be careful not to go from one extreme or the other, once again. As we looked at, we need to live balanced lives as followers of Jesus. The one extreme over here is when we completely remove ourselves from the world and there's cults and there's sects of Christianity that do this in order to pursue holiness. They remove themselves completely from the world. The Essenes are a historical example in Qumran, a group of people that removed themselves so they could follow God's ways. But if everyone did that, if every Christian did that, what light would be left to penetrate the darkness? Amen. What light would be left to penetrate the darkness, to speak truth into this weary world? That's one extreme. And then the other is obviously just going with the flow. going with the ways of this world. We need to avoid either extreme. Our identity is to be salt and light of this earth. We need balance, but we also need to be involved with the life and the structures of our community while we still maintain our distinctness from them. Let me start it again. We need to be involved with the life and the structures of our community in this world while maintaining our distinctness from them. So where in your life are you being that source of hope? In your workplace? In your sporting team? In your family? In your social groups? Are you standing out in those moments? Do people notice that there's something different about you? Is the aroma you give off a pleasing one? A distinct one? The final thing we're going to do today in your goodies bags there is a little card. And if you go into the notes tab for those at home online, you can find this same thing there. But on there's a little reminder. You may want to stick it in your Bibles at home, on your fridge. It says, you are the salt of the earth. You are light of the world. And what I want us to do as Raphael comes up and just plays over the top once again is to reflect on these questions on the back. As we close today, be salt and light. Where in my life can I be salt and light? And second of all, where in my life can I become more distinct? Is there an area of your life where you are just fitting in, going with the flow? Where in your life can you stand out more for Jesus, to be that light, to be that distinct aroma? So I encourage you, there's a pen in your bag too. Just reflect, ask the Spirit to move within you. And then I'll come up and pray. Where in my life can I be salt and light? Where in my life can I become more distinct? Let's do that together and then we'll close in prayer. Hopefully you've had a moment or two just to reflect on those questions. I encourage you to, again, take them into your weeks, but I encourage you just to take a moment now to spend some time in prayer, asking Him to move through you this week, and encourage you to pray that He would make you and remind you of your identity to be salt and light. Let's spend some time in prayer now. John 2, verse 3 says, "We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. The man who says, 'I know Him,' but does not do what He commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys His word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did." And then he goes on to say, "Dear friends, I am not writing to you as writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. The old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining." Heavenly Father, we worship you now because of that reality. We thank you that you are shining brightly in our lives. And for those who may not be experiencing that right here in this moment, and I know there are people here today that are struggling to see that light in their lives.